I get to share this message right off the back of all of that, because all of that is umbrellaed under the theme of love. And today is a standalone message, love no matter what. Love no matter what. So I want to pray for us first. Jesus, we want to honor you for the life of love that you lavishly lived right up until death on the cross. We honor you. We thank you for your spirit that you gave us. We want to pray today, Father, that you would use us as conduits, as funnels, that we would be able to touch a dead and dying world with your love, that it would be tangible, that it would be evident, that they would receive a touch from you, from heaven, through us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Jesus' ministry did not end at the cross or after the resurrection. It was the catalyst to us being able to get the Holy Spirit. And that is what lives in us. There are two scriptures, I don't have time to go into it now, but I love it, and I've drawn little houses in my Bible. He has made our hearts his home. Isn't that an incredible thing? He is housed in our hearts. We have the same spirit inside of us that raised Jesus from the dead. That dunamis power, life-giving power. Romans 8 verse 11, go and have a look at it. But friends, in saying this, what does that mean for us? It means that we can love no matter what. See, in our own strength and in our own ability, it is impossible. But from his ability and his enabling and his limitless quantity of love, we can. We are limited. We are finite. He is infinite. But he has given us this source of love because we have his Holy Spirit inside of us. So we can have that same deposit. And that means that we get his heart, his care, his regard, his kindness, his love for people. Do you ever feel that? His compassion, his empathy. He looked at him and loved him. He wept. Jesus wept. This is his heart. It means that we become, maybe you feel like plugged up, that you're not yet untapped. Today, let's pull that plug out. Like Craig said, if you can get it to me, let it go through me. If you can get it through me, let it come to me, that we can pour out this lavish love. This means, friends, that we get to live naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural beyond ourselves, because his nature is sacrificial. It's life-giving. It is limitless. It is a funnel. It is a flood. It is lavish. It is copious. It is decadent. And we get to ooze his love around this world on his behalf. Don't you want to be a person, a people, a community, a church that can do that to the world? Amen. I do. So we're going to listen today to a bit of a letter that John the Apostle, he was a disciple of Jesus, of what he wrote, 1 John 4, about what he had experienced. Bear in mind, he had firsthand witnessed Jesus' life. He'd watched him, he'd walked with him, he'd listened to him, he watched him, his life, death, and resurrection. Two accounts mentions about when John received the Holy Spirit. So he carried Jesus' spirit. So he's not trying to tell us something that he hasn't experienced himself. And he implores us that we can operate out of this divine ability. Before I read the scripture, it's going to be a chunky portion, but it's incredible. But I felt like it might be important just to define the four different types of love. I only thought about it after the fact, so it's not going to come up in the notes. But there are four types of love. The first one, which is what we're going to relate to throughout the scripture, is agape love. This is what it is described as: the highest, most sacrificial form of love. It is deliberate, it is selfless, it seeks the best for others without expecting anything in return. This term is heavily used in the Christian theology to describe God's love for humanity, agape. Then, of course, there's eros love. That is what a husband and wife within the confines of marriage experience with sexual intimacy. Then there's philia love, which is like a friendship love. In fact, the Greek, it originates from the Greek word philanthropy, which of course we get the word philanthropist from. So that's where the love for fellow man, friendship love. And then last one is storge, which I really felt that I wanted to share because that is a familial affection. And that is what is experienced between parents and their children within a household setting. And it develops naturally through familiarity, comfort, and shared household life. Who knows that the devil is on an all-out mission to destruct and break up and tear apart the family nucleus? That he is all out for it. We get to say, we stand at the gate and we want to nurture something of his love within our household. And I don't say that as condemnation. If you're a single person, single parent, you still get to have this within your household. You are getting the tools and you will be equipped today and your children will be better off for it. Here we go. Now we're going to read the scripture. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 21. Like I said, it's chunky, but every time you hear the word love, it's referring to the agape love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Responsibility, hey? There we go. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. It becomes evident. It becomes seen by others and outsiders. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. So we know and rely. Who's relied on the love of God lately? We know and rely on the love that God has for us. Again, repeat, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's an endorsement from heaven that we are Jesus's hands and feet in this world. If a person touches us, they should be feeling Jesus. I know it sounds like a responsibility, but he deems us qualified. There is no fear in love. That means that in this love, there is no vulnerability, no fearfulness. There's no temperamental. Because why? But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. If you're in a relationship where there's always temperamental fearfulness and you don't know where you stand, you're vulnerable, that's not a perfect love. Trust for that thing. Pray that that thing breaks in. We love because he loved us first. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Amen. Do you know, I mean, obviously the main word in this whole 20 verses is obviously the word love. Do you know that it is mentioned 27 times? In the book of 1 John, in the NIV version, it is mentioned 46 times overall. John's trying to drive a point home here. We got 2 points today. Point number one, God loves no matter what. Why? Because God is love. like we mentioned in verse 8 and verse 16. His nature is love. It is self-giving, life-giving. It is courageous. Why is it courageous? Because it loves without the guarantee of reciprocation. It lavishly loves with the risk of the fact that it won't be returned or even received. Wasn't there once a time that you rejected his love? It is courageous. Everything that God does is motivated and initiated by love. He loves all of us in here. He loves everyone out there. He loves everyone in the pit, the prison, and the palace. He loves the pauper, and he loves the princes and princesses. No one is excluded from his love. Even at your worst, he can't not love you. Parents, think of your child. They might be doing something atrocious. You still love them. You've heard that saying, I love the sinner, but I don't love the sin. Well, if we're born again, we're not actually sinners anymore. We're classified as saints. But we love the person, don't love what they're doing. He still loves us, even when we're not doing what we should be doing. I saw the love of God the other day. I was in Clicks and I saw a special friend and I had the opportunity to minister with her and pray with her. And you know what she said to me? She said, Dawn, I thought about you this morning and I thought I need to get hold of Dawn, but she might be busy. That was the devil telling her, Dawn's too busy. And I just wanted to just talk to her. Well, the Lord made a divine appointment in the aisle at Clicks to make sure that we actually saw one another face to face. And I got to pray. That is God's love in action. He cares so much about her that he would make me arrive home, forget something that I needed to get, think it was an inconvenience, but he made it a divine appointment. Like we said, coming here to Durban Academy was beautiful. And friends, those meals that we've given for these past 6 months, it's not just a good idea, it's a God idea. It's not just from the eldership, it's from us as a community. So we want to say thank you. Thank you for partnering in this way of love. We come on Friday afternoon, and Friday was a busy day. There was a lot happening. But there was a group of us, Sam's Voice, they had a whole donation of toiletries, and we've had them for a little while and we wanted to do something special with them. So we grouped them together on the 18th of July. We're going to go into St. Monica's and we're going to give each young lady a little pack. There's some feminine products inside there in this little container, and we're going to bless them with that. But there was a group that came here that set aside their Friday afternoon to love. While we were sorting out, there was an old microwave from our parents when they moved, and it's just been sitting there. They don't even know this. This is the first time they're hearing it. There's this microwave, and as I moved it, I almost felt like someone in this room might need it. If you'd asked me what I just thought, I probably wouldn't be able to say it. It was this thought. I then go to move it back to where it had to be, and as I'm about to pick it up, I don't know, does anyone need a microwave? One lady goes, I don't have a microwave, I need a microwave. Well, she walked out the door with a microwave. See, that's his attention to detail. So he allowed her to be here, giving of her time, and there's my parents just beaming. They had such an affinity for that jolly microwave. It landed in good hands, it hit its mark. That was the St. Monica's bag, amplified. Can I have the young, let me start with this. Thank you to those of you who sponsored some of our youth to go there. Thank you for contributing money. Thank you to those of you who gave lifts when you weren't even taking someone there that was your child. We had Clint and John Mauer. They went there 9 o'clock at night to go and collect children, using Kevin's car to bring them back so that we could keep our children safe. Jess deserves a trophy. The indemnity forms, the transfers, she went back and forward Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Double trips. To all of you who contributed towards that, thank you. Can our youngsters who went to the Amplified, can you just stand up just to encourage all the oldies to see? There we go. Do you want to come and read it? You're going to have to be fast. These are just some of the points that these guys found prominent and profound.
So hello, guys. My name is Kyle, for all of you that don't know me. So while we were there, me and Mason, we actually like thought about it. And there were like four main points that actually stood out to us, which Mason will be reading.
Number one, never let us be guilty of sacrificing any portion of truth in the altar of peace. Woo. Two, Jesus died on the cross, taking in our sins so we could live in righteousness. Whoa. The patterns of the world will lead you to disaster, but God's patterns will lead you to eternal life. Yeah. Number four, trends come and go, but the truth of Jesus is eternal. Thank you, guys.
Come on. Come on. Thank you, guys. I'm giving you my preach time, so make it snap.
Yeah, this evening was just full of fire, just seeing all the youth preach the gospel. So we are all called to preach the gospel no matter what. So not just the people on stage preaching, but the children, the 13-year-olds preaching to the 18-year-olds, the 15-year-olds preaching to the 16-year-olds. It was so powerful just standing back and watching everyone do that. It was just so such a blessing to see.
I'm guessing there was about 20 of our youngsters who went through there. So it was absolutely amazing. This is the next generation. But Exodus 34, verse 6 to 7, this is what the Lord describes himself as. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to the thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. This is who he is. And he's allowed to describe himself as that because he is the I am. So God's response is always love. No matter if he's going to be rejected or if there is rejection, no matter how people treated him or would treat him, he's still loved. He shows us that love is always the right response and always possible. Now, I've heard someone say, no, we don't just kiss our brains goodbye. Of course, there will be boundaries and we do need to exercise wisdom and discernment with particular relationships. Perhaps if there's been water under the bridge or stuff that we've gone. But love can be the defining thing about that relationship. So what is our default response? I'm going to talk about reactions and responses. There's a difference between them. Do you know that the internal initial thing that happens is called a reaction? So something will happen and there's going to be something that's called like a feeling or a trigger or an impulse or an emotion that happens. That is internal and it's a reaction. Thereafter will be, that's the first thought. Thereafter will be the second thought and our response. Now, if we're going to act on that reaction, well, sometimes that reaction exposes and reveals our old nature creation and reminds us that a little bit of refinement is still needed. That's why I want to say Romans 12, verse 2, well done for being here, because you are here having your mind renewed. So that can happen. That can trigger. But then it's our response that comes out. How are we going to respond? Sometimes we need to use a filter. What's happening here is your minds and your hearts are being upgraded. We always need to be upgraded so we can respond to things better so that people can see Jesus and not some naughty person who's just a grumpy pants who just shouts at us in the queue or in the traffic or something because we haven't withheld or filtered our first reaction. So our responses are different from our reactions because they are intentional and external. Reactions, internal, and the initial one. These are intentional and external. Listen to this. We are not responsible for our first feeling or first thought. Might alarm us. We might go like, oh my gosh, that was very unpleasant. Lord, please help me. Or how we process this thing or something. But we are responsible for our second thought and our first action. How are we going to have let love win in that situation? So our default reaction can be funneled from heaven when we understand how God operates. Doesn't matter if someone's been nasty, no matter what our spouse, our employer throws at us, what we see on the news, how our teen speaks to us, what our toddler throws at us, whatever's going through life, how someone drives in front of us in the traffic, that reaction, then we can respond accordingly because we've filtered and processed and remembering our divine assignments and what we carry within us. We can always respond with love. May not react initially with love, but we can capture that initial feeling and thought, take it captive, turn it around, be courageous, and give a loving response back. In Proverbs, there's a proverb that says, a kind answer turns away wrath. There we go. Because love is always the right response. Because love is always God's response. Point number two. So point number one, God loves no matter what. Point number two, love no matter what. That's to us. His nature is love. He expects us to love others. As you read in John's letter, he loves us, but he's almost giving us this like impossible standard. How are we going to love the way that he loves? Isn't this challenging? But we have this inside of us. And when we understand that God loves no matter what, and that we have his spirit, that can be our default response. Divine. And we can love no matter what. Like it says, verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. I mean, it was mentioned in there. So, if we love one another, his love gets to be seen and evident, tangible, here within our church, in the community, demonstrating his love. When people come here, they should be able to catch a glimpse of his character, feel his grace, his goodness, his mercy, his love, his adoration through us. They could just get sucked into the vortex of it. I mean, I leave here with my heart full. You see, when we are loving one another as a bride, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You don't have to wait for a pulpit or a platform. The pulpit and the platform is in the cured spa. It's at the gym. It's in the parking lot. It's in your workplace. It's at your household. If you're going back home as the only believer represented here, you take that rich deposit back home and you give them a glimpse of something different. Let's love no matter what. I'm going to give you 5 quick points and then I'm going to pray for us. Number one, key, you got to be loved by God. 1 John 4 verse 19, we love because he first loved us. He loves us deeply and unconditionally. He accepts us right where we are, no matter what. The power of his love breaks us free from constantly feeling that we need to prove ourselves or seek recognition or approval from man. It takes us from insecurity to security. Secure people attract other people and make them feel secure. How do we get secure? Not by the qualifications I have on my wall, and those are real and those are good, or by what I've done, or how much money is in my bank account, or what car I drive. No, my security, our security comes from him, because that's eternal. Point number two. So point number one, be loved by God. We love because he first loved us. Point number two, love yourself. I'm going to unpack number three. You're going to understand why I say number two. I love doing journaling. All I need for my craft and my hobby is a stick of Prit glue. That's all. And a book. And I just rip out an old magazines. And I just tear out and I just let heaven speak to me as I turn the pictures and I see this beautiful picture and it just says something like beloved or chosen or adored. And I just feel him winking from heaven and saying, this is what you are. Let him lavish you. Love yourself. Obviously, from an understanding that he loves you so much. Number three, love your neighbors. Matthew 22, verse 39. Now you hear why you need to know point number two of loving yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is not just a neighbor as in someone sitting next to you in church, in your community, a brother or sister, but actually geographically, someone who you might have differences with, someone who might something over the boundary line of your property or let their leaves fall into your pool or park where they're not meant to be parking or knock over something that belongs to you because they drove into it. Do you see what I'm saying? Love your neighbor. Jesus pursues the pain. Sometimes geographically where we're living can seem like painful. Why have you stuck me next to this person, Lord God? And he goes, yeah, because you're the one who's going to be able to pray for them. contend for them. We've seen massive transformation in the family next door to us. We've been next to them for 22 years. I've got an incredible relationship with the wife. It hasn't always been like that, but it's taken pursuit. Point number four, love his bride. By this, John 13:35, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Point number five, love your enemies. Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies. Yes, friends, those people who have hurt you. Maybe it's even those people who have hurt someone that you love and they've become an enemy because you're carrying secondhand offense. Love them and do what? Just ignore them when you see them at spa. Just pretend they're not there. Ghost them, block them, unfriend them. No. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them. Love them. How can you love your enemy? By praying for them. Unfortunately, Merv's not here, but he's an incredible person who loves people well. I don't know if you, those of you who know Mervin, he leads one of the life groups during the week, but he walks around the bluff all over the show. And you bump into him at spa, pick and pay, and he's always nattering with a group of people. These are my comrades. He always wants to introduce me to whoever he's chatting to. He's only just met them, but they're his comrades, and now I must know who they are and be introduced to them. We have this unending self-giving, sacrificial, life-giving, courageous love within us, friends. Do you believe it? We are conduits. We are vessels. We carry this. Are we going to withhold it and keep it all to ourselves? Do you know that John 7:38 says that if we believe in him, rivers of living water will flow through us. Do you know the more you give, the more you get? You're never going to expend your love. If he's going to get it through you, he's going to get it to you. But I'm paying for this person's groceries and it's the last bit of money I got. I know. He knows. We're on a different economy with him. Amen. You will never be empty when you pour out of yourselves. There is a never-ending source of love for us that will go through us to others and keep coming over us. Can I invite you please to join me in standing? A little while ago, went to Eden Crescent. I'd been invited by one of the ladies who does their Bible studies to go and minister there. Mervin's life group came along, and we spoke about the fact that we are love letters. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3 says, you yourselves, he's talking to the Corinthian church, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. No pressure, but people are reading your life. They are reading everything of who you are. You show that you are a letter from Christ, a love letter from heaven to a dead and dying world, the result of our ministry. So, you know, if you haven't received love, you can be feeling in a place of rejection. Rejection has a projection. You think you're protecting yourself, but it's got a projection. Offense literally builds up offense. It puts a wall in front of you and stops up everything that you have to give. I believe that the Lord wants to break that down today. If you've guarded your heart, yes, you might have been through trauma. I've been through trauma. Yes, you could have been through heartache and heartbreak. But if you have taken that as rejection and are projecting it or trying to put up a fence because of offense, the Lord wants to break that down today so that you can receive his love and give his love. So I want to ask you if you could all close your eyes. If you feel that that's you, if you feel that you've been guarded, you've protected your heart, you've been nervous to love. Maybe you've given and you haven't received, or you've extended love and it's been rejected. So you're nervous to do that again. I want to invite you to be so bold and courageous. Everybody's eyes are closed. I want to invite you to open your hands just to receive his love. Point number one, we've got to receive his love. Be loved by God so that we can love ourselves, so that we can love his bride and our neighbors and our enemies. If that's you, just open your hand so that you can receive breakthrough. Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray for breakthrough in this place. Let us not be the ones. I open my hands myself, Lord, because I don't want anything being withheld from my love, my life, of the lavish love that you've placed inside of me personally. So Father, won't you just bring a release? Won't you just bring an opening right now? Flood through those walls, those fences, Lord God. Obliterate them, that we would reach out and love. And Father, when these people, when we just step out in love, Lord God, won't you just see that it is received well, Lord? And we suddenly see, oh Lord, you've allowed me to love someone on your behalf in this moment. Thank you, Father. Pray that you would give many people opportunity, every single one of us, divine opportunities, so that we can be supernaturally natural and supernaturally natural in Jesus' name to a dead and dying world that so desperately needs your lavish love. If they're not going to get it from us, who are they not going to get it? Who are they going to get it from? If not us, who? If not now, when? God, we do it. We say yes. Here I am. Here we are. Send us.